Hey everyone, before we start the show, just wanted to make an announcement introducing our new sponsors, Treehouse Teas, which is a boutique tea company based in Honolulu, Hawaii. They specialize in Hawaii-grown teas and botanicals. They work directly with farmers to bring their customers the largest assortment of 100% Hawaii-grown teas at the most affordable pricing. Check them out on Instagram at treehouse.teas and use order code SLEEPTIMESOVER to receive 10% off your order. And our second sponsor introduction is the man known as Earl Kakaako. He, of course, has two locations in Kaimuki and in Kakaako. They bring their take on classic American sandwiches. Every weekend, specials coming out. The regular menu item is always fantastic. Anyone who's had an Earl sandwich can attest to this. It's always great. Please check them out. They've been down since day one. Earl don't flex for the gram, as he always says, they flex for you. And be sure to mention when you're at Earl Kakaako, Sleep Time's Over, to receive 10% off your order.
You're now listening to Sleep Time's Over.
Sleep Time is over, baby.
We seem to keep taking longer and longer hiatuses, but this was my fault. Welcome back, people.
Are you going to address why it's your fault?
Yes.
Or no? You are?
Yes. I might as well be transparent with the show. I mean,
all right.
For the people that are still staying with us, I mean, they deserve an answer, right? Because
they deserve something at this point.
They deserve something.
They deserve
for sure.
A gift.
But because okay. We're on episode 12 of this.
Jesus Christ.
In our quest to review every album of 1994. Once again, this is Sky Cameron, and I'm with the ever-patient Aaron Sakai here as we talk about all this old music. But I'm so sorry, guys. I was actually sick with the shingles.
Jesus.
One of the worst experiences of my life. Adult chicken pox.
which is fitting for a show talking about old people music.
Right. I get the shingles. I might as well got the measles and polio.
Mumps, rubella, scurvy.
Scurvy. Yeah.
It's only fitting that you get an old people sickness.
Yeah, sailor's diseases.
I mean, it matches perfectly to what's
right.
going on. I mean, I don't want you to be a part have shingles, but I'm just saying it's only fitting.
Right. So laid out, bedridden for over almost 3 weeks.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, how are you feeling currently? Are you all right?
Great. I'm listening to Lawrence of the Underground. Yeah,
why did I even ask that right now?
What are we doing currently? We're doing this shit.
Listening to... Oh, boy.
I love how we're talking about shingles and we got TikTok playing in the background, you know, but...
Yeah, very very polarizing moment altogether.
But how have you been? You've been good on these... You got like almost a month off of me talking about rap music.
Has it been?
Well, 3 weeks. About 3 weeks.
Because you were out for
Well, we had a delayed episode that you put out a week later.
Yes.
But we technically haven't recorded in a month.
Well, welcome to April. April showers, everyone.
Yep.
It's been a month, I guess.
It's been a month, man.
Which will mean that this 94 series isn't going to end until December.
We'll see. Maybe people thought that we gave up and we weren't going to do it. We didn't give up yet.
Yeah, no.
We didn't give up.
Yet. But what are we doing? I mean, I don't even...
Well, we're on episode 12.
I'm assuming this was the cliffhanger.
This was the cliffhanger on our last episode, and we are still discussing 1994... sophomore successes and slumps. We're specifically discussing rap trios. We left off on the last episode discussing rap duos, if you remember.
I don't.
Block it all out.
It's all erased.
Right. It's like you have an internal Men in Black mind eraser and it's everything's gone right after we're done. Right?
It's still working according to it.
I completely respect that. But do you remember this album, Keepers of the Funk?
Yeah.
The sophomore album of Newark, New Jersey trio Lords of the Underground, released November 1st, 1994, on our favorite record label, Pendulum Records.
That's right, Pendulum Records.
Pendulum EMI.
Yeah.
And it was the featured Dupree Do-It-All Kelly, Alterique, Mr. Funky Wadrick, and Bruce DJ Lord Jazz Colston.
Yes.
Now, do you remember the history of these guys? I mean, remember when they came out, they were rocking a lot of college gear,
right?
So they all met at Shaw University in North Carolina.
Right.
And they love writing rhymes and formed a group in college and then actually met Lord Jazz on the campus of Shaw University. So these are New Jersey guys, but formed the group in North Carolina.
Yeah. And Marley Marr was
and Do It All, who, you know, the leader of the group, basically had a friend who knew legendary producer Marley Marl, and they basically got an audition for him and studio time, and then basically they got signed from that demo.
Right.
Which we now know as Psycho and Funky Child.
Right.
And those became the first two singles of their 93 debut, Here Come the Lords. And we're not going to shit on that album. That's a great album, right?
Excellent album. Chief Rocker.
One of the best 90s debuts, but also just an album that just, you know,
well,
I don't know, you know, like, this sophomore is a rough one.
To say the least. Because it was just a victim of timing. It was a victim of being caught in the wrong time with gangster rap and J-Ru the Damager and Nas.
You could see with the sound of this album, they were being tugged. It was like a tug of war of sound. So they have this kind of G-Funk kind of sound, like on this song that we're playing right now, right? But, which is, what, Keepers of the Funk.
Right. They had to say that because, well, Keepers of the Funk, because funk was in, Dr. Dre was in, Using Funkadelic was in, so they had to jump on that bandwagon. It makes sense. But when you do that and you jump on a bandwagon,
it feels forced.
Yep.
And I think that's the hardest part with this album was it seemed forced, and it doesn't have the originality and the feel of like Chief Rocka and Funky Child from the debut album, because it sounded new and fresh in 93. Right. And then when this album came out, everything just sounded a little... I don't want to say recycled, but
it's forced.
In a way, right? It seems forced. It. Yeah. A
lot of the 94 groups that were good in 90, 91, 92 did forced returns. UMC's was one.
Right.
These guys are one.
Let's play the other single. This is What I'm After. It's one of the better songs on the album.
It's decent.
Right.
Because it kind of reminds you of the old Lords of the Underground.
Yeah, it actually... This should have been the lead-off single. I don't know if you remember when TikTok, you saw the video on Yom TV Raps, the premiere. It was so disappointing. You were like, really? That's what you're following up with?
It was pretty cheesy.
You know? It just... It didn't feel like the right choice.
Was Chief Rocka Marley Marl's... Did he produce that?
I want to say it was Marley Marl and K-Def.
Was that their biggest hit they've ever had?
That was their biggest hit. Number one Billboard rap song.
Right. Marley Marl's biggest hit of all time was Chief Rocka?
It could be one of them. I want to say it was Around the Way Girl, LL Cool J, and Mama Said Knock You Out, because
That's
Marley Marl had a run with LL,
right?
Especially on that album.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. So I would say LL is his biggest hits,
because
that had the biggest pop crossover success, but Lords of the Underground was major for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a close to a radio hit, kind of, for them.
For
people
sure.
People knew of it back then.
So the sophomore album's production was handled, you know, by Marley Marl, New Jersey producer K-Def, who we know from the group Real Live.
Yeah.
And K-Def was an in-demand producer at this time.
He was.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, he was producing a lot of stuff for a lot of different guys, doing a lot of remixes.
Yes. That's what led to Real Live.
Yeah, and then he would start Real Live and then work with World Renown. You remember that group, World Renown?
Yes.
Come Take a Ride.
Is that 94?
World Renown? I think that was 94. Oh. The single's released, I think, in 94. Yeah, but the album wasn't released until 95.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
we're going to talk about World Renown later.
Yeah,
like
later.
59.
Yeah. Right. You're not that excited about that. Come Take a Ride's not bad. It's not a bad song.
They're both good songs. Yeah. Come Take a Ride and what's the other one with the How Nice I Am?
Yeah, How Nice I Am. Yeah.
It was
good.
It was good. But then the album came out too late.
Yeah, the album did come out too late. Yeah. I think that was I think this was a problem with this album where, you know, this came out a year after the 93. But again, we're in an ever evolving hip hop music scene.
Can't take time
then,
off long.
Man, like a year. Amazing how a year can just.
Yeah, that's how it works.
You don't keep up with the sound, right?
That and it's because of that led to why everybody started doing the same thing in years in the future. You didn't have much originality in the future.
That's
because
right.
Everybody's all worried about, if I sound different than what the trend is, oh shit, I'm not going to sell. And look at evidence here. They forced something out because Dr. Dre was big, Keepers of the Funk, and look at what happened. Forced.
You're right.
Forced shit.
So did you remember that they released actually a remix for What I'm After with Keith Murray?
Yes.
Now, this one was... Keith Murray was the hot commodity in hip-hop in 94,
right.
Especially for East Coast. He was holding it down for the East Coast. And then I remember hearing this remix, and then the Lords of the Underground, who weren't, they weren't like a heavy cursing group.
Right.
Like, they decided that we gotta come harder.
Right.
On this one. And it just, not again, good. it sounds so forced, where these, now they're trying to sound like Keith Murray.
Yeah.
So.
That's it. It's forced. This is not them. They were goofy. They were college kids. Goofy, sing song.
It was trend following.
Yes.
Yeah. And we're not trying to disrespect Lords of the Underground fans out there. We're fans. We're fans of the first album.
Wait a minute.
You don't think there's Lords of the Underground fans out there?
No, let's gather those names. Okay, wait a minute. Lords of the Underground fans?
Do you think... I would consider myself a fan, at least of the first album.
Well, when you say fans, I'm just thinking like there's a fan club of like people hanging out online.
No.
Talking about what's Do-It-All doing today.
No. But, you know, we all know those guys. And I might be held in that group as well. I hate saying it, but, you know, the guys that defend 90s hip-hop a little too much.
Yeah, that's you.
And, yeah... But I do try to keep an open mind, and I still listen to new stuff.
You still listen to new stuff, yes. You're not that bitter.
I'm not that stuck in that. But
there are several out there.
I don't want to sound like we come on this show just to shit on old groups.
Well, I mean, that's basically why
we're
here.
We're two white guys shitting on these groups, but
this
we're giving our honest opinion.
Tell me like it is
as hip hop fans, yeah.
Who's going to be saying that this is a great album? Let's go find that guy of the fan club. Let's go to the Lords of the fan club somewhere on Clubhouse.
It would probably be people in New Jersey, because they were just beloved in New Jersey, from what I heard.
Some guy that's like 50 at this point.
Right.
I would love to hear that perspective on this a review of this album being good.
Yeah.
It was forced. It's just straight up forced. It's
they released three singles and three music videos. Do you remember? So there was TikTok, What I'm After, and to me, one of the most pandering songs, which is the song...
What, Flow On?
Faith.
Oh, there was Flow On too, was it?
No, Flow On was the last song they released off of the first album. Flow On, New Symphony.
Flow On with the Pete Rock remix.
That was on the... last one, right?
That wasn't the...
Because Flow On is not on this album.
Oh, so Flow On was...
So it was like an in-between single.
Okay.
While you were waiting for the new shit to drop.
Got it.
Right.
Because I remember
that was a good one. Yeah, the Pete Rock remix of Flow On.
Yeah, okay.
But this one with the Denise Williams, I Gotta Be Free sample here. This is what everyone's doing. This is like them doing like a Puff Daddy-ish kind of one, right?
Every group, they pander to making a song like this. Making some kind of a feel-good. Denise Williams is going to be sampled. And then it's like a happy, positive, let's have a good day. Kind of a song.
Here, let's play the Flow On Pete
Heavy
Rock
D
remix.
Did that. Prince Marky D did that.
Okay, so you're right. So this song was actually released as a bonus track for this album, Keepers of the Funk.
Oh, okay.
Right, so you're right. But the song Flow On was on the original album, but they just released this remix as a bonus track.
This was okay because it was them from before, and it's Pete Rock.
Well, this is another group. This will be a theme, I think, with the next group that we're going to talk about after this, but... These are guys that should have diversified themselves with different producers.
Well, there's that.
I felt like they were, you know, I get it that they're part of the Marley Marl and K-Def camp, but this song sounds fresh because they actually got a different kind of beat.
Right.
And it feels a little bit, feels as a different vibe to it.
Right.
And I feel like you listen to this album, Keepers of the Funk, it just doesn't diversify from the sound. It's pretty repetitive.
Yeah.
Funk.
It's just funk. It's like the Redman album. It's like Redman's second album. A lot of people didn't like that album.
Right.
Because it sounded like not what the first album sounded like. And Redman survived that one. These guys did not. So, overall, this album.
What is this now? This was one of the songs that I felt was one of the better songs on the album. This is Never Faded.
Okay.
You remember this one? So, this features another New Jersey MC, Supreme C. This is like. Sounded like Lords from the first album. It didn't seem forced. They weren't trying to catch a hook, you know. And I gotta ask you a question. Who's a better rapper to you? Mr. Funky or Do It All?
What a question.
I've always preferred Mr. Funky.
Because he had more charisma.
Yeah. And he had better punchlines.
Yeah. He had more character.
Yeah.
Right. So I would say that, yes.
And he has a better, cooler voice.
His voice is unique, and he can, like all you said, I agree.
Yeah. Okay. So the album debuted number 16 on the Billboard Rap album charts. It failed to meet the expectations of, obviously, the debut.
No shit.
They would get dropped from Pendulum.
Oh, no.
And then it would be 5 years until they released their third album, Resurrection, in 99, which they released independently. So the group is still technically together to this day. They still say that they've never broken up. They released another album in 07 and another one in 2020.
Why? Really?
Continuing on.
Sorry, man. Fan club. I said why.
And then this is the one little trivia about Do It All. Do It All. Dupree Kelly actually would join politics.
Yes.
And ran for city council of New Jersey in 2018, yes. But he unfortunately lost.
Who did he lose to? One of the UFCs or somebody?
Yeah. He lost to Red Man's uncle.
That'd be fun to see that debate.
Well, it is still unclear whether he's going to continue to pursue his career in politics.
Sorry.
What do you think the source gave this album?
Three mics.
They gave it three mics.
This is a three micer. Yeah. Clearly a three micer.
I give it 2.5. I give it maybe 3 back then. I give it 2.5 now. It's an album that it's really rough for me to get through now.
This is a three micer back then.
Yeah.
This is probably a 2.
You giving it 2 or 2.5?
I give it a 1.5 actually.
Oof.
I better stop
no
now.
No mercy.
I might go lower. Yeah.
All right. So moving on to our next group, another trio. And I don't know if this is a controversial trio or not, but what's happening here? My computer froze.
Oh, see, it's so
controversial. Oh, look at that. It refuses to play it.
They don't want first shingles now hacking the iPad. That's what's going on in this show.
Right. You know?
Who knows what's going to happen to Sky next?
I know.
Oh, here we go. What is this? Oh.
It is the House of Pain.
I forgot about these guys.
Yes.
Go figure. You know, we're Holly. Okay.
So, the album is Same As It Ever Was, and I got a lot to say about that album title. It's released June 28, 1994 on Tommy Boy Warner Brothers Records. Yes. This is when Warner Brothers was distributing Tommy Boy at the time. The sophomore album of LA-based hip-hop trio Eric Schrody, a.k.a. Everlast, Danny O'Connor, a.k.a. Danny Boy, and Lior's Dimont, a.k.a. DJ Lethal.
Well,
this song when it came out. But this was obviously them trying to get on another Jump Around.
Of course. There's your chorus, right?
With that screeching horn in the background, with the pace.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's what they're known for. That's like Cypress Hill, Black Sunday, and all those other guys. They if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Now, you're absolutely right. And that's why when Black Sunday came out with such a massive platinum-selling record, and then DJ Muggs was a hot commodity, I argue that you listen to this album, every beat sounds like a recycled Black Sunday beat.
Yep.
And it's like everything that was left off Black Sunday, they got the leftovers.
Yep.
That's what it sounded like to me.
That sums it up.
I mean, I remember buying this album and thinking like, okay, well, maybe they work with different producers. I heard Diamond D was on it. Remember they were hyping the source was hyping up Diamond D on Word Is Bond on the album. And then you bought the album and you're just like, man, this is a boring kind of slog of an album. You know?
Very much. Well, look at all of that stuff. Like Muggs, you got Funk Dubious, sounds the same.
Right.
Every song sounds the same. Cypress Hill.
A lot of those guys, Call of the Wild.
All sound the same.
A lot of the Soul Assassins.
Soul Assassins. They all sound the same. And it worked for Cypress Hill.
The Hooligans. Right.
And it worked kind of for House of Pain. Kind of. And that was it.
I think by like 90, it was like around 96, 97. This is when Muggs knew his sound was getting a little tired. And then that's when remember when he did the Soul Assassins Volume 1 compilation? He finally started building his production style, right? Yep. He had more live instruments and doing everything. But let's go a little bit into the history of House of Pain, because it's interesting, right? Everlast actually went to Taft High School in L.A. with Danny Boy and DJ Lethal at the same time Ice Cube was there. O'Shea Jackson. So they went to high school together.
Yeah.
And Everlast actually remember seeing one of the very first N.W.A. shows. So he was embedded in hip-hop.
Yeah.
You don't ever want to question... He wasn't a outsider coming in and infiltrating. He was a part of the culture.
Right.
Right? So he got discovered by Ice-T. He got signed to Sire Warner Brothers and joined Ice-T's group, Rhyme Syndicate.
Yep.
And you remember his solo album, Forever Everlasting?
That's
where he had the boxing gear.
That's
and the album was terrible.
Very.
I remember bought the used cassette at Jelly's for a dollar.
That's too much.
I wanted to sell it back. They wouldn't take it.
I don't blame them.
DJ Lethal was actually his DJ in Rhyme Syndicate.
Right.
And then Everlast got dropped from Warner Brothers Sire and then regrouped with Danny Boy and basically created House of Pain with him and DJ Lethal. And they got signed in 91. And DJ Muggs, you know, helped them get aboard with Jump Around. We're not going to talk about Jump Around, how big that was.
Major. To say the least.
Right. Let's play another, like, boring song from the album. This is... I'm a swing it.
Yeah.
Right.
I remember this now.
So, basically, we can say Jump Around was obviously a huge hit, right? Their self-titled debut came out in summer of 92, went platinum. These guys were all over the place, right? Danny Boy's dating Soleil Moon Frye, supposedly.
If congratulations.
You watched that Kid 90 documentary on Hulu. I highly recommend it, dude. It's a documentary about Soleil Moon Frye.
She
was dating Danny Boy from House of Pain.
Can we do an episode on that?
Yeah, let's do an episode
on that. Can we just say fuck this? That's wild. And then just do an episode on Soleil Moon Frye.
And then it turned out she was dating one of the guys that was in the movie Kids.
Really?
Who died. She dated Casper.
Really?
It's not wild.
Wow.
That's a normal other episode. We talk about
Kid
90.
Can we just do that? Can we just... watching that? That's on Hulu?
That's on Hulu. Highly recommend it.
All right, everyone. Let's go check that out.
Yeah. But... so the group went on to work for their sophomore album, but was faced with delays because Everlast was arrested in 93, and he was on house arrest for gun possession. And so I speculate that's why it took so long for this album to come out. It should have came out in 93, especially with these beats.
Yeah.
It sound dated by this point.
Exactly. Exactly right. It sounded Black Sunday. Black Sunday came out in 93.
Right. Do you remember the other singles that were released from the album? It was this song. It was called "It's a Crime." It ain't a crime. Excuse me.
I do not remember this. Not at all.
And the singles weren't catching. The On Point was the only one that really had kind of airplay and whatnot.
Right.
And then they released this song, "It Ain't a Crime," and it didn't do well. And then they released another single that was not on the album. They released it on a bonus. Do you remember what it was? It was called "Legend."
I remember that one. This sounds like an offshoot from Pigs from the Cypress Hill song. It's basically
they all
Pigs.
Sounded like recycled Cypress beats. So this one, they released actually a video for it. And this was them, their attempt of like doing something of a more updated sound.
I do not remember this. I thought I did. Okay. I thought I did, but this is Legend.
You'll know it from the chorus, I guarantee you, because they played it on Radio Free.
Okay. It's starting to sound familiar.
This was the one that got controversy because he was like referencing Kurt Cobain, because it was Kurt Cobain's suicide, and he talked about Kurt Cobain's suicide in this.
Of course. Okay.
But again, this was House of Pain also chasing the fact to stay relevant. You know.
That's all these guys were trying to do at this point.
Yeah.
It's a tough business.
It's a tough business with so many groups. Obviously, we're talking about 150 albums plus.
How do you stand
in
out?
In 1 year.
How do you stand out without the internet?
Right.
With magazines.
Yep.
Okay, I remember this. Yes, this was
You remember this? And they did a heavy metal remix.
Yes. Which always goes well.
Yes. That was a very trendy thing to do in 1994. Let's do a heavy metal remix.
Always fails. They never go well.
So the album's 15 tracks. It's I can't really say it's great. I mean, it's rough.
To say the least.
Let's play Word is Bond, which is my favorite song on the album, right? And the reason why this is great is because they finally diversified with a different producer. You got Diamond D on it.
Yeah.
This is what they should have did. They should have worked with different producers. Right?
When you first hear this, though, this isn't the House of Pain that you know. It's them... It's like Punktubious when they did the second album.
When they're doing Rock On, they're doing more East Coast beats.
And then it's like that. It sounds like that. And when you take away from the energy and the characters that they are, it just sounds like generic rap.
Right.
It sounds generic. It sounds okay. It's safe. But it's not the character of House of Pain.
The character of House of Pain is, you know, Everlast the bald guy, and right, you got the Irish guys running around,
right?
And they're just, they look like Saints Row or some shit,
right? Running around. The guy can rap. Everlast can rap.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with talent. Yeah. It's just the imagery and the vibe of House of Pain is not this. It's
so you
just,
felt like this, they're chasing. They're chasing the East Coast.
And they're being safe. Oh, like Funk Dubious was safe.
So you never cared for this song, the Word is Bond? You just felt it was forced?
It's fun. Well? In the world of 94, it's okay. Because it sounds like, it could be like an artifact.
To me, it was a breath of fresh air, because at least they diversified their sound in this on this.
But at this point, too late. Like you said, they should have released that album on point in 93. I think they should have delayed that.
Yeah. Isn't the name of the album like totally appropriate? Same as it ever was? Because, man, it is sure same as it ever was.
Yes.
It was business as usual for these guys. Nothing's changed. Like, they're not pushing themselves to a different sound.
But then they panic and they make a song like this.
Really? You could definitely see that this was tagged on later.
Yes.
Right.
Because they could tell that the sound changed.
Let's play a song that would be like, here, like this song, like Run Up On You. This sounds like a song that was rejected off of Black Sunday.
Yeah. Clearly. This is like, I ain't going out like that.
Yeah,
part two.
Exactly.
You can clearly hear the bait. 5 seconds in the song, you didn't think it's Cypress Hill.
And for hip-hop aficionados, guys, like, you hear this first 5 seconds, you're like, oh, DJ Muggs. All right.
Yeah, it's the same shit. Hooligans could be on this. Funk Dubious could be on this.
Yeah, interchangeable.
Put them all on there.
Interchangeable,
I'm surprised they didn't do some major posse cut thing.
Yeah, they
like
had
a
no...
scenario or something.
Yeah, they had no Soul Assassin posse cut, right?
Might as well. You got all these beats. They all can interchange.
Right.
So, it's the failure of Funk Dubious, it's the failure of House of Pain.
Would you think that would be a cool group with Sun Doobie, Be Real, and Everlast?
I'm surprised that hasn't been talked
with
about.
With three diverse MCs, because they're diverse sounding.
You would think. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's an ego issue. It's always just an ego issue.
So, the album debuted number 12 on Billboard pop album charts.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, and it debuted like top 10 rap album charts.
Yeah.
It was a hyped album. White kids loved it.
It's the name. It's just the name of the
album. Right. And it went gold. It sold over 500,000 copies.
Not surprised. Yeah.
So, but why was this album, do you think, considered a flop? Because it just, these guys were such, they were like the great white hope, right, after Jump Around?
Well, several things. They had a major hit. When you have a major hit,
Expectations
run high.
Extremely high.
And then you get stressed and you overthink. And then the record company's on your ass. We need another Jump Around. Right. So you got that on your head. And then you got Dr. Dre has now entered the world. And you have gangster rap. And here we are, these three white guys. How can the three white guys survive with gangster rap and the funk and the funkadelic and all those samples? And then you have Nas on the other end.
Right.
What do you do? How do you fit in? That's why Beastie Boys took a break.
And yep.
They waited.
They were super smart.
They waited because they're like, let this unfold for a little bit.
Right.
House of Pain, they had their album delayed. If they put it out in 93, they probably would have gotten a better, maybe platinum? If they put it on 93, probably platinum. Because the rhetoric on House of Pain was still there as far as like alternative, white boy rap. Cypress Hill Black Sunday would have done good.
Mm-hmm.
You put that right after or before Cypress Hill Black Sunday, you can get some sales.
Yeah. I think it was bad timing, like you said. You know,
it's all the timing when you put these albums out. It's the strategic timing of these albums that get them to sell.
This was the On Point Beat Miners remix that was on vinyl only.
It's just all like generic rap.
Well, it just sounds like a throwaway beat for Beat Miners.
Right. It's just nobody wants to give them original beats that will fit their personalities. Like the one song from the first album that really solidified them as a good second single, and it was a fun song.
That
I remember
Shamrocks and Shenanigans.
Yep. How fun was that song?
It was super fun.
Catchy.
Yeah. I actually like that song more than Jump Around.
I think a lot of people do. And they did a heavy metal remix for that.
Yes,
and that
they
was,
did.
It was stupid, yeah, but it actually was okay because of their characters, and they just had their little punchlines.
Right.
That's the House of Pain they could have stuck with.
You're right.
It's like Doors Underground. They have punchlines, and they're cute.
Right.
You can't be cute anymore in 94. That's it. You can't be talking all these, making fun of things and making voices, and it's gone. Das Effect, same runs into the same problem. You can't do that shit.
They kind of figured out with the third album, hooking up with Premiere and stuff. But yeah, I think some of these groups, it's a rough go. Trying to figure out what the next move is, and when you have a hit so early in your career.
Right.
And we see that in current rap now, right?
You see that now. Right. Another one, example, Common.
second album of Common. Yep. Totally different rap than how he was in the first album. Did it work at first? No. But fast forward 20 years later, yeah, it's the greatest album of all time.
He figured it out.
That it's not going to work. Right. The gimmicky shit isn't going to work.
So House of Pain would release their third album and final album, Truth Crushed to Earth Shall Rise Again, in 96, before disbanding. Right?
Yes.
Everlast would leave after that. After that, before the album even was released, he had bailed. And then Danny Boy quit music and started an art company. And then would return to music in 08 with that super group La Cosa Nostra. You heard of that one? Right. It's Everlast, Lethal, Nonfiction. It's a group. It's Nonfiction. Ill Bill, the guy. Yeah. Ill Bill.
Yeah.
And it's Slain from Boston. Right. Yeah.
Vaguely remember that, but yes.
And then DJ Lethal go on to Limp Bizkit in 96. Right. We all know Limp Bizkit, right? And
well, Everlast had the solo career.
And then Everlast would emerge after he had a major heart attack. We didn't talk about him having a major heart attack in like 96, 97.
That's right.
And he almost died, and then he comes back with Whitey Ford Sings the Blues.
Right.
With the help of Dante Ross. Dante Ross actually helped him A&R that project and produced that project. That I wasn't a big fan of that.
It got so successful, one, though.
But it was huge. 3 million records.
Yeah.
It came out right at the perfect time with Kid Rock and
exactly.
all that shit, right? Uncle Cracker exactly. and all that bullshit. And
exactly. Perfect.
He would. He had a super successful solo career. Went on to work with Carlos Santana and all this shit.
Right.
So they all had respected careers after. Right.
What caused the heart attack?
Because cocaine.
It has to be, right?
If I had to speculate.
I mean,
I'm saying it's cocaine.
He wasn't overweight. He,
no.
I mean, he looked like he was in shape, so.
Right.
Had to be the drugs.
Had to be the drugs, yeah. I would imagine. So what did The Source give this album in 1994?
3.
They gave it 3 mics.
Another generic album.
Now, if I'm have to choose between Keepers of the Funk and Same As It Ever Was, I'm going Keepers of the Funk. Huh. I'd give this album back in 94 2.5 mics. I'm giving it 2 mics now, and I don't... What are you giving Same As It Ever Was in...
Well, I'll give it 2.5 in 94. Yeah. 1.5 now.
Wow.
Or 1.
Yeah.
I better stop now before I go more. So, yeah. I ain't listening to this now, then, forever. I mean, quite frankly.
I may throw on Point just as a fun memory, but that's about it.
I don't know if you want to call it a fun memory. Choice of words there.
Yeah.
Fun.
I get you.
I would rather listen to Fed Up. That was on their third album.
That's right.
That
was
more fun than on
I think
Point.
The third album is better than the second album.
It is in a way.
Yeah, in a way.
Fed Up was a better song than On Point, I thought. Fed Up was fun.
All right.
Wait till 96 for that one. Huh? Is that 96? When did that come out?
96. All right. Yeah. All right. Let's go to our third and our last album of the day. It's Planet of the Apes from the Lynch Mob.
Oh, boy. All right.
This one released November 1st, 1994 on Street Knowledge Priority Records, the sophomore and final album of LA-based group and Ice Cube-affiliated Lynch Mob, right? They served not only as Ice Cube's rap group, but they were his bodyguards. They were his security.
That's
as
right.
well.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with these guys.
Okay, so here we go again.
I love the first
great
album.
First album. It had personality,
yeah.
character.
Nothing sounded quite like it.
Right. The Gorillaz in the Mist song is a very entertaining song. A lot of one-liners, a lot of fun stuff going on. They fall into the trap of, it's 94, we gotta get on this funk bandwagon, we gotta do funk.
More G-funk beats. I think the interesting thing with the original Gorillaz in the Mist album is that it kind of really like fell in between East Coast and West Coast beats.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it was like... It was during the time where Ice Cube was doing The Predator.
Yeah.
And he was really experimenting with working with different producers.
Exactly.
And different sounds. And I think that's what... It sounded fresh.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then they would reference East Coast rap. They would... There was a gangster rap group talking about Tribe Called Quest and EPMD. We never really heard much of that. About West Coast talking about these guys.
Right.
So it kind of brought people together.
Right.
And then it all threw out the window because we're West Coast. We gotta be with these West Coast guys. We have to do funk.
Yeah, I hear you.
We can't do the East Coast kind of sounding thing and we're from the West Coast. No, we have to do West Coast now. Click.
Do you remember the 3 members of the group?
I remember their voice. Oh, well, is there like a JD?
So there's JD.
Right.
There's Shorty.
And then the other
and
guy.
T-Bone.
Yes.
And T-Bone.
Yes.
But after JD After the release of the first album in 1993, JD was arrested for murder.
That's right.
And was sentenced to 30 years in jail.
That's right.
So the vocals that they already recorded for this album, Planet of the Apes, they scrapped them. And then they brought in a new member, Malky, from Yomo and Malky, which we have talked about on other episodes where you were like, are you making this group up?
Yeah, look up that episode, everyone.
Right. They're a former Ruthless Records act.
Yeah.
Most famously, Bone Thugs and Harmony took the beat for their song, For the Love of Money.
Right.
But JD still professes his innocence, continues to appeal.
Still in jail.
And you know what was a crazy thing else? T-Bone was also arrested and charged with murder in 93, the same year.
Yeah.
But he was released. His case was dismissed.
Wow.
Two of the members charged with murder in the same year. Crazy, right?
Well,
these guys were about that life.
Well, you work security for Ice Cube.
Yeah, don't.
You're going to know some bodies are buried.
But these were definitely not studio gangster guys. These guys were about that life.
Right.
They were obviously gang-affiliated members. They were recording records and living that life.
And it's a shame because JD was, in a lot of the ways, the leader of that group.
Yeah, I agree.
So you take away that voice and that persona.
Yeah, you're missing something.
You're missing, and they missed a lot with this album. It did not hit.
Yeah, it did not hit at all. Yeah,
I was eagerly anticipating
this. Me too.
Because people that like the Lynch Mob were like, wow, okay. And then Ice Cube mentions it in this video.
Right.
The Lynch Mob gorillas in the Planet of the Apes.
Because Ice Cube was executive producer on the album. You know, he produced tracks on the album. And Gorillaz in the Mist, like, let's talk about how that album was a surprise hit. It went gold.
Yeah.
And it had two, like, minor rap hit singles. It had Gorillaz in the Mist and Freedom is an AK.
Yeah.
Right? And so
it was fun.
You're right, though. This album was a victim of the Chronic, victim of Doggy Style, victim of the West Coast sound that people were expecting, right? So Ice Cube completely revamped the sound. He brought on, like, QD3, Dr. Jam, Madness for Real, all of these guys that were hot at the moment. And the album, I agree with you, once you lose JD, he's the heart of the group. It just didn't feel like the same magic was there. It didn't feel like the same chemistry was there.
Okay,
this is Mac-10 right now on Cutthroats.
Right. Now, on the surface, okay, sounds cool.
Right.
Beat's nice. But it ain't the Lynch Mob.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It's some other gangster group we don't know about. And that's the thing.
It didn't make it stand out.
Personality's gone. And that's a shame with all of these sophomore albums. They lose their personality.
I still, you know, this album, in retrospect, though, I mean, it's not original, but it's way more fun than the House of Pain album.
Yeah.
I'd rather listen to this album.
Listen to this album.
Oh, for sure.
It's definitely.
Right. I don't think it's great, but I think it's a much more listenable album. It's short, it's to the point, it doesn't drag on.
Right.
But it's just not bringing anything too original, you know, lyrically. This is a song that they're trying to bring a little bit of that old sound. But by this point in 94, this sounds a little dated.
It's dated, though.
Right.
See, so you're really stuck. You're stuck as a group. You're stuck as all of these groups. All three of these groups today were stuck.
So they released two singles. Do you remember what they were? I mean, nobody even knew. Pay attention. This album was forgotten when it came out.
Yeah, this was really forgotten.
They released a Going Bananas,
yeah,
which they had a music video for on MTV. I don't know if you remember that one. And then Chocolate City, the first song I played.
Right. Came and went.
They tried. Ice Cube and KD was on the album.
Lost in the Shuffle.
Mac-10 on the album, but
Lost in the Shuffle.
Yup, Lost in the Shuffle. So the group would actually break up after the release of this album. You know?
Yeah. Makes sense. It's just another failed attempt that is done by overthinking and panic moves and delays and bad timing. That's it. We have to follow
T-Bone. T-Bone did go to jail eventually.
Oh, well, that's, you know, convenient.
And then Shorty would pass away in 2019 of kidney and liver failure. So rest in peace, Shorty. So
shout out to rest in peace.
This is a group that, like, it just a tragic end. You know what I mean? Like, the members in jail, you know, like, one of them passes away. But he had a life. I mean, he lived till 2019, but...
Well, right. This is a tragic show today.
Yeah.
I gotta say. all three depressing albums.
Well, I think it was all three groups that when they came out, so much potential. And I think that was kind of the theme I was going for, was like, man, these groups, well, I remember loving all three of these groups when they first came out. I loved House of Pain, I loved Lords Underground, I loved the Lynch Mob. And once again, we're always talking about how hip-hop is evolving, and man, even how 1 year, you just can't keep up. You can't. If you don't make the right move, you're gone.
You panic, and you feel like you gotta come out. And you come out the wrong time.
Yeah.
And that's what happens to these guys.
Right.
House of Pain should have came out in 93. What delayed that? All right. Lords of Underground should not have come out until maybe 95, 96 maybe.
Yep.
Seeing all this unravel.
Yep.
And then, what can we do?
What did The Source give this album in 94?
This is three mics again.
They gave him three mics.
Yep,
all three mic albums.
It's generic.
And funny thing, like all the albums, their prior debut albums all got higher ratings, right?
Obviously, of course.
Right. So I don't think I need, you notice I didn't say, was this a sophomore success or slump for any of these albums? Because I think we can all agree.
Universal.
These were all slumps. Yeah.
Like Ice Cube, if he found out JD went to prison, I would not have released this. I would shut the project down.
Reinvent them, like reconfigure them and reinvent them.
Don't call him the Lynch Mob though.
Yeah.
Call him something else. Unless he had an advance of cash or whatnot monetarily to put out a second Lynch Mob.
But you remember
contract.
Like Ice Cube at that point was trying to put out artists. You remember he tried pushing KD really hard?
Yeah.
Too? And to me, like, he should have took the remaining members of Lynch Mob, KD, and like an artist like Yo-Yo, who could never really, you know, she had a minor hit with Bonnie and Clyde.
Right.
You know? But put them together and make like a...
Easier said than done.
You know, yeah, easier said than done. Because nobody Eagles. Wants the splits. Nobody wants to split the royalties.
Right.
So, and this is why we have no rap groups now in, you know, in 2021.
Right.
Very little rap groups. Nobody wants Eagles. The splits.
Yeah. Yep. And you got to remember, like, these guys probably signed a contract for a 2-album deal. That's the thing we gotta mention here. In defense of all of them, Lords Underground probably got a pendulum 2 or 3 album deal. The Lynch Mob 2-album deal.
Yeah.
JD goes down. What does Ice Cube do? Can I just scrap it? No, you owe us an album.
Well,
Ice Cube.
Well, like we said, JD was. He was already recording the album when he got arrested, right?
Yeah.
He got convicted. So they were like already in completion. They already probably spent their budget
right.
on the beats, and like, we're not gonna waste these beats. Let's get Malky in here.
Right.
Scrap JD's vocals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they thought they could get rid of it.
Yeah, I mean, I would have been nice to hear JD's vocals on some of these songs. I wanted, you know.
Of course we would. And then it would be him on there, but then they're going to still pivot the sound.
Right.
Because of Dr. Dre.
Right.
So it won't be the old Lynch Mob still. So once again, it's just, if JD was still not in jail, I would wait.
Mm-hmm.
I would just wait. Go 95. But what do you do?
So... Sorry to bum everybody out of this episode. Like, we'd have,
well,
you know, but I thought it was interesting with these three albums that were so hyped, and from groups that, you know, had big hits in the rap scene, and just could not follow up, and just how hard it was in 94, you know.
That's the thing, and you're gonna see a lot of these albums that are gonna come out that are sophomore from groups throughout the years that just doesn't add up because it's bad timing. That's the theme.
All right. Well, let's wrap up the show today. I got a little here. Yes. We have a little cliffhanger for what we're going to talk about in the next episode.
Jesus.
We're not going to say who it is, but I'm sure people know who it is.
If you're listening to this show, yeah, you're going to know who this is.
Then you already know what it is, yes. Right. But in the meantime, tell me about what else is going on with the show. Our live show is coming back.
We'll figure it. Yes, April 22nd.
Exciting.
Workplay,
yes.
So, Workplay in Kaka'ako. For the people that are listening to this that are on Oahu, live show is back. What else more, really? It's been over a year.
Yep.
Been over a year, bigger spot.
Get vaxxed and come on down. Don't get vaxxed. Whatever you're...
be anti? At this point, you know, all of that's going to be addressed, but bigger...
Mask
bigger
on,
deal.
Mask off?
Exactly.
Yeah, who knows?
It'll be a face-off. I mean, it'll be big. It's on the main stage. We got Jimmy Taco will be there.
Yeah, Jimmy Taco.
The Lord will be back.
Yes.
And we're just going to see. We're still the planning phases of this thing.
Right.
So this is being April 5th.
Excited. Yeah, we had a little pre-show meeting the other week, and it's going to be a new format. So for our longtime fans of the show, I mean, it's going to be a little bit different, but you get the same energy, hopefully.
It'll be the same situation, just in a bigger scale.
Right.
It'll be a much bigger scale.
Tighter. Not as loose.
Yeah. It'll be at the most an hour-long show. Probably not an hour-long show.
Yeah.
But with the bigger crowd, bigger scale, bigger production.
Probably less weird, quirky references from us.
You never know.
Who knows?
It's all playing. It's all wait and see.
Right.
But yeah, there's gonna be a big stage in the back with the big screen in the back, so we have
visual
for the first time live.
Yeah.
And then of course that the episode will be uploaded on YouTube. But I'm looking
live musical guests.
Same as before.
Yeah.
And we might even live stream this thing. Oh, I gotta find out how to do it.
Excellent.
But that's what we're planning. New theme song as well coming up.
Yeah. Yes. Excited. Yeah. Shout out OG Libra. Yes.
He's gonna be part of that. Yeah. So. It's April.
Exciting, man. Also want to promote your show. F the other.
Oh, right. Fitness the,
fitness the other F word.
Yes.
With Summer Lee. Shout out Summer. A bizarre couple episodes you guys have there with.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You guys got to check out the show. If you got to know, there's a mystery going on that show.
Yeah. to say the least.
To say the least.
But I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, of course.
So yeah, I'll just let it be at that. And.
But yes.
That's it, really.
We'll be back for next week with episode 13.
Jesus, yeah. Lucky 13.
And talking about this album.
What a way to start Bad Luck. Then these guys.
Yeah, what's up, Doc? Can we rock?
Oh, God.
Oh.
Forget it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, all right, guys. Thank you, guys.